Hey guys, do you remember Star Search? Well, I am here with the winner in 1993, a young girl named Taryn T. Francis killed it with her choreography, and now she's all grown up and taking LA by storm. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
See, I told you it takes me right back to, like, you know, that solo.
I feel like I'm
going
to go to a discotheque.
Okay.
I'll go roller skating.
The video of my solo to this song, though, when I was at Itty Bitty dancing to this, and then adults watching me and, like, trying to dance in with me because they was doing the current moves of the time, but as adults were doing those moves, it's pretty funny. So.
I want to see that. You have it?
I do have footage of this solo. Yes,
I want to see that. I do. Hey, guys. I am your host, Shay Jones. You can find me at @TheRealShayJones on Twitter and Instagram. And I am with Taryn T. Francis. You want to tell them where they can find you?
Yes. Find me on Instagram at Taryn T. Francis. And also on Facebook. My artist page is Taryn T. Francis as well.
Well, you started at a very young age. Like, you started at 2 dancing. Mm-hmm. Like, was it your parents that got you into dancing, or you were just like, I want to dance?
I think it was, like, universe's magnetic pull to, like, you know, anything that I saw, anything that I heard, if it involved music and movement and anything to do with dance, I was just entranced to it. So my parents said that anytime dancers were on television for a show or anything at all, I was just glued. So, I mean, before I was 2 years old, I was obviously running around the house, dancing around the house. When there was dance moves on television from the, you know, they said that there was a show where there was solid gold dancers. And I don't know if you even know about this.
No, my face is like, I'm thinking of gold member from Austin Powers.
No,
when you said
no.
That's what
a little bit
about.
Different. But, it's, you know, think pre and Living Color, you know, okay. They had solid gold dancers. And I was just glued to the television. And whatever I saw, I copied. So I was doing their moves, but all in front of the television. So, I mean, I guess they really had a hunch that I should probably get into dance classes.
So what did you start with?
So I started with a few classes that were for children around my age, and then also bumped right up into the next age bracket really quickly, like right away. And actually, when I started, I was a little bit younger than the class that was open for my age group. So the students in the class were a little bit older than me, and I wasn't fully potty trained at the time. I was super itty bitty.
That's interesting.
And I went to class one day, and I realized that I was the only one wearing, you know, a diaper and under my leotard. And I must have, like, psychologically thought, I don't want to be the only one wearing a diaper. So it literally, like, potty trained me instantly, and I didn't want to go back to dance class again. And having a diaper on. So anyway, so then I continued on with those classes, and then I had bumped up pretty progressively to the next age brackets. Had my first recital. I remember one of my first recitals, tap recitals I had. It was a tap number, 5'2", Eyes of Blue. Oh, what those fine feet can do. Has anybody? Oh my gosh. So it really takes me back. But I just loved it. I loved it all. And I think that my dance teachers in my hometown, where the studios where I was training, they really saw potential in me. And so I started training privately, private lessons, getting, you know, extra, you know, movement forward. And then it was when I was around 7, 8 years old that my hometown studio, my dance teacher, actually recommended that, you know, she started to take me to Los Angeles. And I was obviously doing competitions and conventions, yes. But I started training in Los Angeles. And at the time, there was an age limit, you know, to take adult classes, to have the adult advanced classes. So they kind of snuck me in, and I fell under the radar. But I was okay, because I hung in there and I kept up.
I want to be like, how do you sneak into a class?
They just literally snuck me in there, and because I could hang and because I could follow along, I was able to take the adult classes. So then we were commuting back and forth quite a bit, and I gained a lot of my foundation and my dance training in Los Angeles in my hometown.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, you also did Star Search, and before we talk about that, I also have a video that won you that title.
Yeah.
So we're going to bring it up.
Awesome.
I saw it, I was like, whoa. You better dance.
America's favorite. Wait till you see this. The show-stopping junior dancers. This is their finals. They'll be competing for $10,000. First to go for the big money, a 9-year-old from Fresno, California. Finalist number one is Taryn.
The flips. That was like consecutive stuff right there.
Well, I was a gymnast and I was a dancer, so I was able to really pull in my acrobatic and tumbling gymnastics moves with my dancing. So it really helped give me an edge over what people were doing at the time, especially kids.
That's the way I was a kid. If I was watching you, I'd have been like, I want to be like Taryn.
Since I actually recently posted this video on YouTube, though, I have had a lot of people reach out to me and message me that I inspired them to dance and that they learned to dance or they started dancing by watching their VHS tapes of me on Star Search. And I inspired them to do gymnastics because I was also a gymnast. So, I mean, that is incredible to me.
Their $10,000 finals are right now. The decision is between Taryn and Fabulous Feet. The best new junior dance star of 93 is Taryn!
Yay! We knew you could do it!
Good luck to all of you, Fabulous Feet.
Now, guys, just in case you don't know what Star Search is, because some people might not, it was a talent competition just like America's Got Talent. For people who wanted to do dance, sing, acting. Aaliyah started there, Rosie O'Donnell, Lonnie Love, Destiny's Child, who was also known at that time called Girls Time. You learned everything, guys. I didn't even know that. Shocker. Britney Spears, amazing talent, Janelle Parrish from Pretty Little Liars. They all got their start there. So I think we need to do another remake of Star Search.
Yes.
I think it'd be awesome.
Yes, and I want to be a part of it.
You should be one of the judges.
I would. Like, I would love it. Or behind the scenes.
Well, you were 9, though, when you did that.
Yes, I was 9 years old. So getting back to, you know, me watching television and watching, you know, it was one of those shows. It was one of those talent competitions that I would just, like, I would think about every day, dream about it every night. You know, I wanted to dream of being on that stage because that was the talent competition to be on. And that is where I wanted to go. So every week I would watch it loyally. And then once I started training in Los Angeles, shortly after I started training in Los Angeles, I ended up getting an agent. And so then I started going on auditions. And then one thing led to another. I started booking jobs and I started working, obviously, in film and television in the entertainment industry. That's how all of that started. And, it was just, we got the call to audition for Star Search. And I was like, yes, you know, the moment I've been waiting for.
I've been preparing for this my entire life.
Yes, but the odds were stacked against me because at the time, you know, they did kind of warn us that, you know, they had never accepted a soloist, dance soloist to be on the show. And so this was, you know, I was like up for the challenge though. I'm like, yeah, but I got this. You know what I mean? And so I wanted to go and I submitted my video. Mm-hmm. Then we got the call that I could go in person and audition. So I went in person and I auditioned for Tony Selznick. And he was in a dance studio with a camera on a tripod. And I had to, you know, I met him, and then I danced and performed for him, and he, you know, recorded my my audition, and I did a solo that I had prepared for the audition, and then he's like, okay, great, wonderful. He seemed impressed, and I was super hopeful, but, you know, he's like, well, we'll be in touch. We'll let you know, and so it was shortly after that that we got the call and the news that I had been waiting for, and they said that I had been accepted to be the only dance soloist that had been on, you know, accepted on the show, and I was just super stoked. So then I had to start prepping. So I had to go with 10 different routines and 10 different costumes, wow. and I had to train, and I was like in boot camp mode, like beast mode, like let's do this. So, yeah, so then we had, like, a little bit of prep time, and then I was off. And the season that I was on Star Search, it was actually the first season that they ended up filming from, they changed their filming studios from Los Angeles to Orlando, Florida. So the first season that I was on the show was in Orlando, Florida. So, and that was actually my first time on an airplane.
Really?
Yeah. So I was able to have one of my parents go with me. So my mom was who went with me. And it was both of our first times on an airplane. Can you believe that? And so we're just sitting there. I mean, there were so many fond memories of that whole experience. I mean, it was just a dream come true to even be thinking about going there, to be training, and then to be physically going there. You know, so then it, you know, one thing led to another. I had the first show, and the first show, which was really important because I had to come in as the challenger. So they had a challenger round show that didn't actually air to the entire public. Cool. So, and most people don't know that. So that was, talk about pressure, right? So I had to win that round from a champion from the previous season.
You had to beat out and somebody I was the challenger before.
Exactly. And so I had to be able to win that round in order to stay on board and to then be deemed as the champion to go into the next, like, you know, episodes.
Yes.
So, yeah, and every single time that I competed, ironically enough, I mean, I didn't plan for it, but it just is so what happened. I was competing against groups. You know, so it was only little me and against groups, do trios, groups, you know, so yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I think I just had, I think I was in like a ball of energy and it was just a huge mix of like everything, anxiety, excitement, nerves,
beast mode.
You know, super energized. And I was like, backstage, right before they're ready to announce me, every single time, and I'm just looking at the stage lights, and I'm like, you know, wanting to pinch myself. Like, is this, you know, it was such a surreal feeling. Is this really real? Is this happening? And then once I took the stage, I was okay. You know what I mean? And then I just turned on, I flipped a switch, and I just lit up, and that was my time to shine. And my whole goal was to just entertain the audience. You know, if I had the audience on my side and they could get into my routines and they could feel my performance and my energy, then I felt good, you know, so.
As you should. But, like, were you watching that? How did you feel, like, when you were taping that? Did you know that you, like, won before it was announced? Did you have to reshoot that part?
No, we didn't know. So every single time that we were going out onto the stage to see who won, and, you know, to see, like, how many stars we got from the judges, to see who won, that was all, like, right on the spot. So they didn't let us know ahead of time. And sometimes, like, in a few of the episodes and a few of my wins, I had to win by tiebreaker. So we had tied in our stars, in our, you know, by the judges, and then we had to go to the audience votes. So then, so that was extra nerve-wracking because the only person that was there for me was my mom. Yeah. And most of the time with the other groups that I competed against, at least they had family that was, you know, more people that were there for them and they were in the audience. And so I'm like, oh, you know, so it was extra nerve-wracking. And then we had to go on at the end of the show just to see who won that tie. And most of the time I came out ahead. So just
you
a surreal experience.
You won.
I know. Well, I did. I did. I won 7 total times. And then there was a few episodes that I didn't end up winning, but I went home to train, to prep, because I was already confirmed finalist.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was already a confirmed finalist, and I went home to prepare, and I was able to prepare my number that I wanted to take back, my solo that I wanted to use for the finals. And so I went back, and that's when I prepared that number, and I was able to compete with that number, and we made a few little fine-tuning tweaks to it. Just to really add a punch. And then I flew back, and then I was back with a vengeance, and I was like, let's take this, like, let's do this. But I was, like, really, I used to be a pretty shy and quiet little kid, so I would show my excitement and energy when I took the stage, you know, when I was, like, that ball of energy on stage. And when you got me talking, if you got me talking, I would, you know, I would get get going. But if not, then I was just kind of more reserved, and I was just kind of very observant and shy and quiet. So that's why even when we came to the deciding point there to see who won the finals, I was like, I think all of my energy and excitement just kind of came out with a, you know, and you saw my face just light up, but nothing else came up. And I was like, and I think about that now, and I'm like, oh my God, how did I just not like give Ed a big hug and jump up and down and go crazy and go nuts?
Like you said, being nervous, I feel like if you're not nervous before you go out and do something that's worth having and worth getting, it's not worth it.
Yes.
It's not, or it shouldn't have been worth it in the end because you need that energy. It's what drives us as people.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. I feel like you not saying anything, it's because you're in shock, but it's just like that, like you got everything you came for at the same time.
Yeah, and I look back to that day and to that whole experience, and it's like the blessing of a lifetime. So, yeah, I wouldn't trade it for the world, and I'm so blessed and lucky that I was able to experience that and witness a dream in my life come true. So yeah, and I'd worked really, really hard. So that moment, like you were saying, was just like, it was just kind of like, I think a sigh of relief and a sigh of excitement and joy and everything all in one, so...
Growing up, what dancers did you look up to, and have you been able to work with them in this business as well?
So when I was itty bitty, when I was little growing up, I was really drawn to Elvis Presley. I loved his music, and I had a huge crush on him. And him as an artist, I was really drawn to him when I was really little. And also Patrick Swayze. Yes. Still to this day, my favorite favorite movie of all time is Dirty Dancing. So I actually remember watching that movie when I was home with my mom and my sister, and watching that movie for the first time. And we were like dancing around the house, and I did the bridge dancing
where baby was
down the stairs. You know what I mean? Like that was just everything. As far as like pop icons and people that were involved in the industry at the time that I looked up to, that I admired their work so much, were also MC Hammer. I thought he was really cool, and I thought he had a funky beat and a good vibe, and like loved his music, loved to dance to his music. So I thought he was super cool. Paula Abdul, I really admired Paula Abdul because I thought she was beautiful. And she could sing, she could dance, she was multi-talented, and I wanted to be just like that. And obviously, Michael Jackson. So, who doesn't love Michael Jackson?
If you say you don't, you're lying, I feel like, in a way. Like, even no matter what he did, like, you cannot discount the character of his artistry.
Mm-hmm.
Because that talent is transcendary.
Mm-hmm.
It transcends generations.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what generation you are, you will always love Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's true. And actually, right before Star Search, I had the opportunity of meeting and working with Paula Abdul.
Nice.
So that was actually one of my very first jobs that I booked after I started auditioning in Los Angeles, was a music video with Paula Abdul. And I remember being so excited to just meet her that the first day on set we came and we actually tried to ask, like someone asked for us, because she was all in hair and makeup and everything getting ready to shoot. And they asked for us if we could meet and have a special moment, where I could meet her and I could perform for her. So I actually did a dance solo that I had been working on, and I just wanted to dance right for Paula Abdul. So I had like this little private moment with other people in production, and I performed right there on set.
That's awesome.
And it was
though.
For Paula Abdul, and she posed in it. She was so sweet, so kind. She seemed really impressed by my talent, and I was just like on cloud nine. And she posed for pictures with myself and me and my sister. My sister was also there with us. So that was unforgettable. And then there was Star Search. And then I remember there was a question that Ed had asked me when he was interviewing me, who would you like to work with? And, who were, people that you look up to? And I had mentioned Michael Jackson, MC Hammer, and Paula Abdul. And ironically enough, I was fortunate to be able to work with all three. So after Star Search, there was MC Hammer, and then there was also the Michael Jackson job that I was able to work with Michael Jackson, too. So
on what song or video?
So with Michael Jackson, There was his Pepsi 92 Dreams Tour in 1992, and this was going to be his largest tour to date. And he was kicking off his tour, and he had just started to kick off his tour internationally. Mm-hmm. And this was for the big promo that was going to show in every single city that he launched his tour. And it was going to show. And you can actually YouTube it. It's on YouTube. Nice. And they actually have behind-the-scenes footage of shooting that. It's pretty iconic. So that is the job that I worked with Michael Jackson. And pretty, you know, unforgettable, like I said. He was actually really sweet, really super kind. He was too shy to sing for us.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we wanted him to sing for us on set in between takes. There was me, and there was actually Wade Robson. If you know, he's a pretty big name dancer and choreographer in the dance industry.
I feel like I've heard it, but I can't place where.
Yes, I met and worked with him on this job. We worked together. But anyway, so in between takes, we wanted Michael to sing for us, you know, and we all looked up to him and admired him so much he was too shy to do that. So what he did, he compromised with us, and he promised that he would play basketball with us after the shoot was over.
Nice.
So we said, okay, like, let's do it. So he says, okay, wait for me. I have interviews. I have press conferences, photo shoots, things like that after we're done filming. But if you hang tight, we'll go play basketball in the studio lot. There was still a studio that was set up for a basketball court.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a Shaquille O'Neal basketball commercial. And they had just been filming that. And so there was a basketball court that was literally just a few stages down. And so he says, we'll be able to use that soundstage. And so we're like, okay, great. And so we waited and waited. And it was after like 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Wow.
And he had been working all day long. And he come walking out. And he says, okay, kids, let's go play basketball. And so we were super excited, and we just, you know, we played, and I was on his team, and he actually, a really memorable experience, he lifted me up to make a basket, and our team won.
I love when I see those things, because, like, you know, you're so little, like, anytime you get to, like, dunk the basketball.
Oh, yes.
You feel
and
so
I was
important.
Way too little at the time to be able to, like, do, you know, some super basketball moves and, like, slam dunk myself. But, yeah, with his aid, our team won. So, yeah, so we were super excited. And the other super incredible thing about him that I remember is my mom had actually quietly asked him in passing when we were shooting that day. She says, you know, do you please mind, you know, any free second that you have today, anytime, can you please have a picture, like a photograph? Can we get a photograph with you and my daughter? And he says, sure, no problem. Like, we'll make it happen. Okay. And we didn't have any perfect moment for that to happen until after we were done playing basketball. And he was done for the night. Like, he had had a full day and played with us. And he had gone into his private tent. And my mom was like, we never got that photograph. Oh, my goodness. You know, and I said, yeah, I know. I want that picture with Michael. And she asked us, she was asking his security guard who was outside of his private tent, you know, Michael promised my daughter a photograph. Is it okay if we get a photograph? And Michael must have been just inside of the tent, overheard that. And he just pointed to his security guard and says, let her in. And so he was able to kneel down, and I was standing right next to him, grinning from ear to ear. And the security guard snapped the photo, and I got my photograph with him, too. So.
Do you still have the photo?
I still have the photograph. I have photographs with all of the people that I worked with.
It's so awesome. I just love hearing that about Michael, because yes. I think people, like, because of what happened, people kind of forget, and I don't want people to forget, like, he was a genuine person.
He was genuine.
That loved everybody.
Mm-hmm. And from my experience, that's the only thing I could speak of. From my experience, he was kind and genuine, and I had a very, very positive experience, you know, when I met and worked with him, so... That's what I like to remember, and I want to always remember him for his legendary talent that no one can ever take away. So,
well, after Star Search, you were very busy. Obviously, you know, you worked with Michael, you worked with Paula Abdul, but you also ended up, when you were 16, opening your own dance studio.
Yes.
And we have to talk about that, because what I loved about the fact that you opened it was so people who couldn't afford the classes could have affordable classes. And that's, for me, something that a lot of teenagers, some today do, and that's what they want, but they don't really have that, you know, their moral compass to think about that as well. So what was that drive for you that made you want to open your own dance studio?
Well, I think ever since I was younger, training and growing up, you know, there was a house, there was two houses on our property, and in one of the houses, my mom had transformed the garage into a dance studio, and it was like a practice studio for me to practice, for me to create. She even put a sign up that said Terrence Dance Experience,
lights
and had mirrors and redid the floors. I mean, she had really transformed the garage into a studio. So that was always something in the back of my mind that I really felt like I could share my gift of dance and my love of dance with other people through teaching and having a studio someday. So that, you know, I think it kind of started there with the thought process of having a studio. But also, as I mentioned, backtracking a little bit, when I was working in Los Angeles, we were commuting back and forth, and I worked in the entertainment industry for a good solid few years. And at the time, we got to a transition where we need to either relocate to Los Angeles or, you know, or go back home because the commute was getting really, really difficult. And at the time, it just wasn't feasible. And I was also at a turning point in my gymnastics training where, because I was a competitive gymnast as well, that they were like, you know, you can't be gone in Los Angeles for too long if you're going to continue to, you know, go up in the ranks and in the levels of gymnastics. And if this is what you want to do, you kind of have to decide.
Yeah.
So we got to a turning point and I had to make a decision. And we ultimately ended up staying in my hometown and stayed in Fresno. So I focused on my school and dance training and gymnastics and all of that. And so we, in my gymnastics training, I actually had competed up to level 10.
Level Which 10, is the highest level you can get in gymnastics.
Level 10 in gymnastics in my time was just under elite, which was Olympic level. Mm-hmm. So I had gone pretty far. And it had taken a big chunk of my life. And when I was really itty bitty, when I started gymnastics, I had dreams of going to the Olympics and I had aspirations of being like Kim Zemeskal. So that's how that my whole gymnastics dream had started. But when I got to be a teenager, I realized that, you know, my college education was also really important, and I was still just a small-town girl, and we would have really had to relocate to maybe another gym and train with different coaches if I really wanted to pursue the Olympics. So what I really had my heart set on was getting a full-ride scholarship to college through gymnastics. And so I was in competition, and I was just before I was 16 years old, and I still remember this like it was yesterday. But I was competing. I was on my last event, which was the bars and the uneven bars. And I was, not fun. It was actually my least favorite event. Out of all of the four female events, yes, that was my least favorite.
I feel like vault would be harder for some reason.
Well, I was a little powerhouse, though. So I had a lot of power in my legs. These are little legs, but they were mighty. And so I always loved the vault. My favorite was obviously the floor exercise, because I was able to add my artistry through dance.
Yeah.
And also my power through tumbling, so I could perform. So I was on my last event, and I was in the top five in the individual all around. My coaches just said, okay, just try to stick the landing, get through your routine. College scouts are here ready to meet with you after the meet and offer you a full ride scholarship. So you're in good, you know, you're in good standing right now. So just like get through your routine and let's do this. So I was in my one touch warm up and I actually ended up falling and missing the low bar on my release move. So I fell head first. And I dislocated my right elbow, tore all the ligaments in my arm. So I went away in the ambulance instead of
meeting with college
having
scouts.
That meeting with college scouts. So I was out for over a year just to recover and to get my arm straightened again. They said that it would be a miracle if my arm, you know, would ever be straight again. But luckily, through a lot of hard work and intense physical therapy, I was able to do that. But at that time, when, you know, your life can change in a second. And that's what happened for me. I realized that I was going to stay more in my hometown instead of going away to college. Like, that was the plan. And we stumbled over, you know, across a building. And the timing seemed right. And we kind of just jumped on the opportunity to open a studio at that time rather than wait till later. So that's how that all started. And that's how, even in our grand opening photograph of our studio, I had my arm in a sling because I was still technically healing and recuperating from my injury. But it just seemed, you know, right to jump on that at the time. And so that's how that started. And we started in our first location the first year, and then we expanded into a larger location in our second year. And getting back to your question, as far as, you know, keeping, you know, quality instruction at affordable rates was my mission. Because growing up, you know, my parents were young parents, and my dad worked, three or more jobs just to provide the opportunities that, you know, my siblings and I had. And we didn't have a lot of extra money to go around, you know? I mean, he worked extremely hard to be able to provide that. And when we had a studio, when people are coming to me for training, I didn't want something to be like, you know, something like money to be the deciding factor of if they have this opportunity or not. So that's why I made that conscious choice.
Well, that's an amazing choice to have.
Thank you.
I love how you talk about your parents, because they're like, parents are the foundation that we have as kids growing up. I don't know why I say it. Can I talk right now? but I love hearing that, because mm-hmm. having that foundation, it really shows the kind of person we are, like how we become.
Mm-hmm.
And having that support, doing gymnastics, doing dance, traveling from here to L.A., like, your parents are rock stars.
I know. And, you know, I mean, we've all had our struggles. We all have our missteps, and we all make different choices, you know, whether they're the right choices or maybe not the best choices. But, you know, we all get through life. I feel like I look back and see what they did, and I'm, like, blown away, because I don't even know how I would have provided for a family, had three children. You know, they married at 18 and 19 years old, wow. You know, and we're working that hard. And then they saw, you know, potential in all of their children and tried to provide equal opportunities for all of them, you know. But then also seeing that potential in me and compromising, you know, things for themselves just to, like, you know, my dad would literally drop work at the drop of a hat just to, like, you know, rush home to say, we need to go to Los Angeles because we got a call from your agent saying, you know, let's go to an audition. We need to, you know, plan for a job, or, you know, you booked this or whatever. So it was like, no matter what, we were priority and we came first, and I would never take advantage of that. So.
Oh, that's so sweet. And then you did end up going to college. You got your bachelor's degree in theater, arts, and dance, and then you came back out to L.A.
Yeah, to restart. So I ended up having the studio. We had the studio, fully functioning dance studio. We also had expanded into a cheer gym, so we had all-star programs, so we had cheerleading. We also had dance. I wanted it to be a studio of the arts, so I wanted, you know, people of all passions of the arts to be able to come and train. We also had vocal lessons. We had piano lessons. We had martial arts. We had a little bit of theater. So I tried to provide and do the best that I could to provide as much as we could. And I think I was, you know, it was a whole learning experience too. I was learning about myself and growing as a person and growing as a teacher in the process. So that experience, during that chapter of my life, it was 10 years, was pretty incredible. But I think I got to the point where, you know, I finished high school as I was running the business, as I was running the studio. Then I went straight to college, and I was a full-time student as well as running the studio and running a business. So I had a lot of responsibility at a young age, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. But I think I got to a point where I wanted to see if I could pursue other ventures for myself in my life. And so I decided ultimately to close that chapter, and then, you know, thought about it, planned and prepped. And, you know, it wasn't an easy decision, because I'm like, well, what if this, what if that, you know? And, you know, everyone goes through those sorts of things. And, you know, moving to Los Angeles and relocating after, you know, all these years of initially working in Los Angeles, you know, it's not the easiest choice. But I ended up finally relocating to Los Angeles, and I've been out here for almost 8 years. So.
And you're married now.
I'm married now. And when I moved to LA, trust me, I didn't think that I had no idea where my life was going to go from there. I mean, I had gotten my point to, you know, in my life where I was, you know, establishing myself as a choreographer, and I was a business owner. I had graduated from college, and I was teaching at, you know, other places and doing choreography elsewhere and working for other companies. And, you know, I kind of had established my life in my hometown. I had also gotten involved with fitness, yeah. And everything. And I really had to just, like, pick up, leave my family, my friends, and everything that I had worked hard to establish, leave it behind, and move to Los Angeles. And so when I moved, I basically felt like I had to start over, you know, because I had to get my footing again. So I didn't really know anyone else out here, and I just was like, okay, where do I get started? How do I get started again, you know? And I was just kind of finding my steps. I knew I wanted to always have dance in my life, so I wanted to get back involved in the industry, continue my life as a teacher, as a dancer, as a choreographer, get involved more in the industry again. but after, you know, taking a break from the industry, that's not always the easiest thing to do. So you know, I've gone through all of that, but in the process, I happened to meet my now significant other, who I can call my husband, and that is an incredible thing for me, too.
You also appeared on TLC's My First Home, where you guys found your first home. Are you still living in the same house that you ended up finding, or did you end up moving?
Yes, we're actually still in that home that was featured on TLC's My First Home, So we were actually chosen to do that show, and we were a young couple, young professional couple in Los Angeles trying to find our first home in LA, and I guess they liked that story. And see, I didn't think I was ever going to be finding or trying to search for real estate in Los Angeles either, because back in my hometown, I could get triple the amount of what I can afford, you know what I mean, to get for our first home here in Los Angeles. So that wasn't an easy process either. But, you know, that show actually documented our journey, which was really pretty cool to be able to be on camera, like, you know, documenting such a big, you know, journey for us and our life and starting our lives together. We actually ended up planning to buy our home at the same time as getting married. So that was kind
of so cute.
The clincher in the show was that we were kind of like, you know, on a timeline, you know, we wanted to be able to move in and get married. And we also needed to find a place that, you know, that we wanted to call home for our first home. And that had a yard that had outside space for our two dog babies, Bacon and Blondie.
They were those names. They're just so cute.
They are the cutest little things, and they're the loves of my life. I mean, my husband and my two dog babies are like, they give me joy and such happiness every single day that I'm so thankful for them. But I actually was living in North Hollywood here in an apartment, and I just knew, I just said, I want better for them. I want them to be able, and I was taking them on walks several times a day, and, you know, but they were leashed, and you know what I mean? I wanted them to just run freely and play. So it was really important for us to find a house that was large enough to have a yard for them and a place that we could call home. So that house journey was documented through that show on TLC. And Bacon and Blondie were actually on it, too. Yeah, their little faces got to be on the show, too. So that was really, really a neat experience. And it's nice to have that special experience in a show. So
now you've trained in so many different styles of dance. You recently came off a tour with a Bollywood company. And how was that experience? I feel like Bollywood is so fun and the color. And I just love everything about Bollywood.
Yes. Well, I mean, I've always been interested. I mean, it definitely caught my eye. When Bollywood first hit the scene, it was really interesting because I love the energy and I love how it tells a story and it's very theatrical. And there's lots of different styles of Bollywood as well. There's also Bhangra, which is a little bit more gritty and funky, more hip-hoppy, and which is really, really cool as well. There's also slower and faster forms, styles of Bollywood. So it was not until I relocated to Los Angeles that I was introduced to Bollywood, though. I had seen it and heard about it, but I had not actually had experience doing it. And I feel like my decision to go in that direction and to actually be committed to that company kind of stemmed from my background. My teachers, my coaches, my parents even had really encouraged me at a young age. If you have the passion for dance and you really, you know, want to do this for the rest of your life, then don't be closed-minded. You know, you need to be versatile. Be versatile and try to do it all. If you love dance, then love all aspects of dance. And get involved and take from different teachers and train in different styles and different disciplines, because it'll make you that much better of an artist, a dancer, a teacher. So that's what I had always strived to do. And so I grew up training in all styles of dance. And when I relocated to Los Angeles, I was actually working at Debbie Reynolds at the time, Debbie Reynolds Dance Studio.
Oh, I've been there and it's awesome.
Yes, yes. And the company director had actually, you know, seen me through working at the studio and had kind of approached me and scouted me to audition for the company. So I did. And I ended up, you know, joining the company. And I was dancing and touring with the company for a few years. And that was a really fun time of my life because I was able to create a new dance family. And I was able to kind of get connected to, you know, a fun performance opportunity through dance and reconnect into dance in something new at the same time once I relocated, after I relocated to Los Angeles. So that was really, really neat, really neat to do. So I learned a lot about Bollywood. We actually ended up teaching through a lot of summer programs. We ended up performing at Ford Amphitheater. Nice. The company has toured and performed many times in New York. We toured and performed in Miami and all throughout California, Southern California, Northern California. Lots of iconic venues. So, yeah, so that was a special experience. And it's a great workout. It's a great workout for sure.
I feel like it is only because I'm a mimicker. Like, I mimic things, so I love Cheetah Girls, and when they did One World, yeah. I like learned those because I'm just a freak and that's what I do. And I loved how, you know, they would do like move their arms and like, okay, how do you, okay, this hand has to be that way.
There's a technique.
It's a technique.
Yes.
Most dance, all dance is technique.
Yes, you have to learn the style and the technique, and that's why you train. But yes, there's a lot of facets to it, and there's a lot that goes behind it. But it is a great workout, especially if you're doing faster Bollywood or Bhangra. You know, you use those legs, you burn those calories, you get a sweat. So yeah, I was getting nice workouts through doing Bollywood training because we would have a few rehearsals per week for a few hours at a time. And we normally would have to like fully rehearse several numbers to do several different shows constantly. So yeah, so kind of multi-benefits there.
Do you have a favorite style of dance that you always like, no matter what else you learn, I always want to go back to this?
I feel like with my technical training and my upbringing through, you know, ballet and training on point and things like that, I really enjoy jazz because I feel like jazz is multifaceted and I feel like I can incorporate my technique. I can incorporate stylization. You can do slower jazz. You can do faster jazz. You can do so many different styles of jazz that there are. So I feel like that's kind of my go-to place. But then there's the other side of me that totally likes to just work and like be fierce and do jazz funk or hip hop and like, you know, just kind of just go all out. And you know, and then there's lots of different facets to those styles as well. So I feel like it kind of depends on the mood that I'm in. I think it depends on the mood that I'm in. If I want to dance a little bit slower, if I want to dance a little bit faster, if I want to do tricks and technique and turns, or if I want to just do, you know, work style, or if I want to do a mix of both, I feel like it, you know. But it's nice to have a tool belt of many different things that I can that pull really from. True. Yeah, because then I'm able to venture in those areas. If I could recommend to anybody, you know, as advice, you know, as a dancer, I would think, you know, I would definitely say that it's important to be multifaceted and to be versatile and to be professional in whatever you do, to put always your best foot forward, learn from different people and different experiences and different teachers, because there is so much out there that you can learn, that there's something that you can learn in every single experience that you do, that you take. So that's what's helped me, and that's what's brought me to my, you know, the way my life is now.
Well, there goes my next question.
Sorry, I'm doing your job now.
I mean, go ahead. two final questions, because you have danced for charity foundations and things like that. What is your favorite charity?
So back when I had my studio and back when I was a little one growing up, I've performed at many different charitable, you know, for charitable causes, for different organizations, for the American Heart Association, you know, for many different things. I think that one of the charities that's nearest and dear to my heart, and there's actually a unique story behind it, is St. Jude's Hospital. I've always had, you know, I've always been moved by helping people, but especially our youth and children. So, when after my experience on Star Search, I actually ended up keeping in touch with Ed McMahon, and he was my pen pal.
Oh, that's so cute.
And the special thing about this is that every, you know, we used to write letters, and I used to tell him even how I was doing, like, growing up in middle school and high school and what was going on with me, because he wanted to just kind of stay current with how I was doing. Literally, we were pen pals. But every year at the holidays, at Christmas time, we would send each other gifts. And he would always, what his thing was he would send me a personalized card and a donation in my name to St. Jude's Hospital.
Oh.
And so that's what started that special near and dear to my heart of St. Jude's Hospital. And that is something that I would like to continue to pursue with them.
That's an amazing story. Yeah. I love that. We need to be more charitable as a people. Like, there's so many things we need, like, to help with that it needs more of us. It needs more people volunteering.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, like, it's an hour maybe of your time.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll learn something after mm-hmm. it's done as well.
Like I just said, I mean, you can learn from every single experience that that you take in life. And I feel like it doesn't matter, you know, if it's something that you're doing for yourself or if it's something that you're doing for others. I feel like it's almost the more gratifying for me when I know that I've made an impact on someone else's life than when I even do something for myself. And I think that has kind of just started at a young age as well, that I always have had the, you know, the desire to help other people and to make a positive influence and a positive impact. So I feel like, you know, kindness, we all need to spread more kindness in the world, in wherever it, you know, might lead you. You know, different people might have considered different acts of kindness, but that should be something that everyone considers to do because it's a great thing.
It really is. And final question, do you have any new TV obsessions?
TV?
There's so many things happening in TV world today.
I know. Well, I mean, of course, anything to do with, you know, dance and talent and the arts of any kind, I'm always drawn to. For mindless television and television that I can just put on the background while I'm doing something or working on something, I'm a foodie. My husband and I are total foodies. When we don't go out to dinner and try different cuisines or have our favorite restaurant picks or whatever, we like to cook at home. So I enjoy watching the Food Network and all their shows that they have on Food Network. I also like HGTV and TLC for the home shows because I like the home renovations and what they do, and people are house hunting and searching for houses. I mean, I was a huge fan of House Hunters and, you know, in my first home and things like that before I even, you know, was on a house show myself. So I enjoy all of that. I think it's really, really cool. Chip and Joanna on HGTV, I mean, they're incredible. Who doesn't love them? But aside from shows like that, there's other shows that, like, my husband and I get into that we, you know, stream or we record and we watch and kind of just, like, decompress at the end of a hard day and we, you know, get up on the couch with the fur babies and, you know, and then we watch a few shows and sometimes we binge watch, but yeah, so there's The Americans. I mean, that's a really pretty cool show.
It's an amazing show.
Right? Goliath with Billy Bob Thornton. Like, that's a pretty cool show.
I have not seen it yet. I've been working up to it.
Yeah.
I've been busy.
Yeah. I mean, but there's a lot of really cool shows out there, and it's really cool where television has gone, because there's kind of a good mix of reality television shows, artistry television shows, yes, talent competition, you know, shows, and, you know, scripted shows that are really, really good. So television is really good.
Television is amazing. We appreciate you.
Yes, we appreciate TV.
Well, guys, that is where we have to end. I am so sorry. Again, you can find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram. And where can they find you?
I'm on Instagram at Taryn T. Francis, also on Facebook, Taryn T. Francis, and also my website. I'm in the middle of a revamp for a relaunch of my website, but it is also taryntfrancis.com.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Have a great night.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.